We want to extend a special welcome to anyone who's new to DA. We are so glad that you're here. My name is Cal G. I'm a grateful recovering debtor, and I'm going to be your moderator for this meeting. Andrea B. and Paul R. will be our tech hosts for today. Joining us are also our panelists, Mark, Bobby, Tommy, and Brandon, who are here to share their experience, strength, and hope. All right, at this time, please join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. This is a special topics meeting, Finding Your Way, Navigating Your First 30 Days in DA. The format of this meeting is that we'll read the 12 steps of DA, which I'll ask our panelists to read. And then each of the panelists will take 10 minutes to share their personal journey as they navigated the first 30 days of the DA fellowship. Following the panelists' shares, we'll have time for questions and answers, and those questions can be submitted to our Zoom hosts, who will then share it with us in the chat. The questions can either be directed to the panel as a whole or to the individual panelists. Can our Zoom hosts please share the 12 steps? Thank you so much. Mark, could you read the first three steps for us, please?
Sure, yeah. One, we admitted we were powerless over debt, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him.
Thank you. Bobby, would you please read the next three steps?
Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Pass.
Thank you. Brandon, would you please read the next three steps?
Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others.
Thank you so much. And Hami, would you please read the last three steps for us?
10, continued to take personal inventory and where we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive debtors and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, everyone. And now it is my pleasure to introduce our first panelist, Mark, who will share his DA recovery. And also for the Zoom hosts, Mark had asked if we could share, please, the signposts of debting. And if we could have a timer for 10 minutes, that would be terrific. Thank you, everyone.
It's Andrea. What are the time warnings that Mark wants?
I'm going to a 5 and a 1, but if it's visible, it's fine. I can see it too. All right, cool. Hi, yeah, I'm Mark. I'm recovering in this program. And I'm not going to read through the entire 12 signs of compulsive debting because that would probably take away like most of the time. But I do find that it's a very helpful companion to who I am as a debtor and a person in recovery. Because when I come to meetings and I read this or I hear it read, these are things that just kind of skewer me. Like, this is my entire history with money before I came into the rooms of Debtors Anonymous. I would rack up all sorts of debts, usually to my mom, and then not pay them, and then expect my mom to pay them back, which worked until I was an adult. As a young adult, I was pretty flippant, we might say, about credit cards. And to this day, I don't understand why you would issue a credit card to somebody who's prefrontal cortex hasn't developed and they don't have judgment. But right after college, I get all these pieces of mail saying, here's $5,000 from American Express. And I'm like, that's wonderful. I can't get a job. I could use $5,000. Sure. Yeah. Joke's on you. And that's just a little bit of a precursor to my coming in. I reached a place of 12-step recovery before this program, and I'm not going to dive too deep into it, but where it led me to was the initial stages of recovering from my under-earning and getting to a place where I felt like I was earning according to my education and my talents. And I started re-engaging with credit and rebuilding credit and feeling like I was a part of the club for being able to have a credit card, and started meticulously trying to maintain my credit score and get it up and get the shinier metal cards with all the points. And I got kind of roped into that whole routine of fixating on the amount of rewards that I was getting without being able to pay my bills anymore. Like, I started off being really proud, like, yeah, I have a credit card, but I pay the whole balance every single month, so we're good. Gradually that slipped, and in my industry, a lot of times you get bonuses, maybe you get a signing bonus, maybe you get an annual bonus, something like that. And I fell into a pattern where I was always over my skis in terms of debt, and then I was expecting that the next bonus was going to come along and it was going to knock out that debt and I would be fine. And that's the 12th signpost right there, hoping that somebody will rescue you. And so this one day, I have a conversation with my boss. It's the annual review. I'm expecting that I'm going to get the top level ratings. And with those top level ratings, I'm going to get some kind of a bonus that was never actually promised to me in writing. And as happens in corporate America, your performance doesn't match what's in the review. And I got the meets expectations. I got the extra money. I got an okay raise. I didn't get a bonus. And my emotional state was not proportional to what had just happened. Somebody was just giving me more money, and I was absolutely enraged. And I wound up at the DA meeting finally, sort of kicking and screaming, because for a long time I had maybe some kind of ego wrapped up into it. I did not want to be part of yet another 12-step fellowship. I didn't want to have to deal with debt. I didn't want to have to be out of the club in terms of the credit cards and the airline lounges and the trips and all of that. But I was living in a place where the reality of my financial situation, something like $200 in savings, and at that point, I think $15,000 or more in credit card bills, and I couldn't pay them off every month. So I had to open myself up to something new and give myself a chance to be a newcomer over again for like the fourth time or something like that. And I went through the whole sort of predictable, like rebellious, angry newcomer. I don't like this program. This is too formal. This is too much work. This is, it goes too far in the cut up your credit cards direction. Like, every complaint or every pushback that you could have had to the program, I did have. And over the first few months of being in DA, I kept coming back. I kept sharing my little newcomer mess, and I started hearing some suggestions that worked for me. The one that really got things going was when I realized that a debit card is not the same thing as using a credit card, and that living on a cash basis does not mean literally going to the bank like it's 1930 and taking cash out and somehow trying to find a way to pay for everything with cash. I don't know why this took me 6 months to realize, but when I finally did, it's like, oh, you mean I don't need to use my credit card bill to pay my cell phone? I don't need to use my credit card to pay my cell phone bill. And it was from that point that I started transitioning bills and everything else over to debit. And just the freedom that I had from knowing, here's what's in the account, it's going down, as opposed to, I don't really know what's going out, but the bills are going up. I've started keeping my numbers when I found an app for it. I think one of my early misconceptions about this program was that I had to carry around a paper notebook and a pen or something and write down everything that I spent and then have a separate process where I go back to a computer later and log it into a spreadsheet. And just the amount of work was not something I found accessible until I found an app that it was like, okay, this thing can easily just track my numbers. I do it by hand. I have a this app that I pull out, and when money goes out, I type it in. And in the first several months, I did so deliberately, not judging myself. It's really tempting when the house kind of feels on fire financially to be like, I have to turn all systems down to zero. I have to stop eating at restaurants. I have to only eat cans of soup right out of the can and just burn it on the burner or something like that. Just like wear a hair shirt. And that's not the advice of this program. Instead, for me, the first several months was let's record what I'm spending my money on with no change in behavior and just see where it lands. Let's see what it costs and what it looks like to be me without trying to change anything yet. So I have a baseline of data. Gradually, that started to be predictable expenses, and having some clarity about what I actually spend versus what I'd like to imagine that I actually spend helps me to deal with the reality of living in the world that I live in, as opposed to my fantasies of what I'd like it to be. This sometimes comes with relief of like, oh wow, I thought it was going to be a whole lot more expensive for me to do this thing or for me to just be a person. And other times it's a matter of surrender that it's like, okay, I don't like how much it costs to be me in the world, but I can also bring that to my PRG. And they can give me some permission and some ability to be like, okay, I turned it over. And sometimes it's a little bit of the proxy for my higher power. What the financial situation looks like today is very far in the opposite direction. At first, my PRG told me, Mark, you're crazy. Stop spending $5,000 a month paying back credit card bills. Why don't you just pay the minimums? And I've been in this program for 2, 3 years, something like that. I don't have credit card debt anymore. And I mostly paid the minimums. And there's this experience I see all the time in this program that we maybe set aside an envelope for an ambitious goal and we put an insultingly low amount of money into it. And somehow higher power fills that envelope with all the rest. I can't explain it, but I can say that I've seen it. And sometimes seeing, I guess, is believing for like 10 seconds, but then I come back to this room to get that reminder that like my money is God's money, and I'll have as much at any given time as I need to be able to carry a message of a loving higher power if I keep on doing this program. And that's the great promise of DA is that like my life has become a whole lot more manageable. It doesn't mean that things have become easy all the time, but I don't have to do this alone anymore, and I get to give myself a break that I don't have to manage all of this stuff myself. So really grateful for that. That's my time. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mark, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Very grateful to have you here. Now it is my pleasure to introduce our next panelist, Bobby, who will share their experience, strength, and hope. And if the Zoom hosts could please share page 20 from A Year of Serenity and Prosperity. Thank you so much.
Bobby, what time warnings do you want?
You know what? I can see it, but give me a 1 minute verbally.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Hi everyone. I am Bobby. I am a grateful member of this program and other programs. I just want to thank everyone doing service to make today possible, which is a different day in some parts of the world that some people are zooming in from. And yeah, just really grateful to be of service to such an incredible feat. I do actually want to read this page really quickly. It's from our new daily reader, A Year of Serenity and Prosperity, which I have my paper copy here. And This is about keeping your numbers. Keeping your numbers is the tool that I personally wanted to focus in on for this panel. What because for me, when I first came in the rooms, which I've been in other rooms for over 8 years, and it's through my work, my step work in those programs that brought me to this room, out of by the grace of God. And the first meeting I went to, first Sunday of January last year, the first thing someone told me when I was overwhelmed by all the tools, all the incredible tools I heard about, they said, just start by keeping your numbers. And so that's the tool I'm focusing on today. And this is a reading about that tool. So, January 20th, time well spent. Keeping records gives us clarity. We can see the situation we are in and can develop plans to change it. Do I really need to write down my numbers? Must I account for every penny I spend and earn, every coin I put in a vending machine or parking meter, all of my assets and debts? Yes, yes, and yes. Part of my dis-ease as a debtor is being vague with money. Writing down my numbers cuts through the fog of vagueness and brings clarity and serenity to my life. Before I know whether I have enough, I have to know how much I have. Sometimes after doing my numbers, I'm surprised that I have more money than I thought. Sometimes I'm surprised to realize that I have less. But when I write down my numbers, I become aware of areas where I overspend or underspend and deprive myself. Whatever the numbers indicate, the sanity and stability I gain from the clarity is priceless. From this place of clarity, I have the peace I need to get quiet, open up to a higher power, and be guided to better spending choices. I then make financial decisions that move me forward in recovery. Thought for the day. Today, I am grateful to DA for showing me a path to clarity. Would you mind scrolling down a little? through the tool of record maintenance, which is the same as keeping your numbers. I have a serenity that leaves me open for higher powers guidance. The time to take it takes to do my numbers is time well spent. I love that this reading is called Time Well Spent, because it helps for me as a debtor and as an under-earner and someone with vision issues and fear of success and a lot of those signposts that I got to just see again and be reminded of. Time and money are and the way in which they speak to each other is like a real crux of my disease because it's something I fear I never have enough money and I never have enough time. And that fear is really fueled by vagueness. So I came into this room with a lot of intense deprivation behavior. I have worked in creative fields my whole life. I've worked since I was a teenager. I'm in my 30s now. And I currently am an actor. I run a creative studio and I am a editor at large for an international magazine. And I'm ironically one of those debtors who is also an overworker. And before I had that clarity, I was like, how does this make sense? How does this work? I feel like I'm always just running, running, running and working, working, working. And what's going on? You know, like I came from a home where, you know, when I was a little kid and I worked little jobs, I worked at this like deli across the street from my grandma's house and made like, you know, I don't know, a couple bucks putting little price tags on potatoes. Who knows what I was doing there? I used to cut open my teddy bears and hide the money in them and sew it closed because I didn't trust my family with my money. I didn't see good behavior modeled for me around how do you spend money? You know, there was bankruptcy, there was debt, you know, these things were hyper normalized as, you know, money is this thing to be insane about. That's what we do, you know? And so that's what I was working with. And it really shaped also my relationship to time and my anxiety about time. And robbed me of the gift of the present moment, really, and just being with the gifts that actually are here. My sponsor always reminds me, you know, the premise of this program for me is like to live within my means, but not let my means define me. And doing my numbers is this action of willingness to look with clarity at the reality of my financial life. That is something that previously terrified me. I wanted to avoid it at all costs. even when it was good. And actually, sometimes when it was good, I wanted to look away even more. And that's been an interesting thing to see as I keep my numbers now for a year and a half in this program. And I've gone through my own journey of what does that look like, right? So at first, someone showed me an app, so I started using this app, and then I thought I could trust the app to do conversions during travel, and the app didn't quite know how to do that right, so I had to redo my numbers for a whole month. It's like it's been this like tumultuous thing. But when I last January or this past January was preparing for my first PRG of the year and had a whole year of numbers, I just felt so humbled by just the reality, right? Like, okay, I have a vision beyond this, but like actually, like this year wasn't as much, this was a year of willingness. This was my first year in program, and I'm actually proud to have these numbers to show for it. They might not be the biggest numbers, right? But they are numbers that speak to a life of serenity that's been offered to me by this program, by like just having that clarity and being like, you know what? And with the encouragement of my PRG, right? Like, you know what? I can do this nice thing for myself. You know what? Like I should get that dental treatment that I'm due to get, right? You know what? Maybe a vacation is a normal thing that people do, and I don't need to turn every trip into a work trip somehow to make it make sense, for those who are really, really, truly newcomers, have never been in a 12-step room before. I don't know however many of you there might be, and I don't know what your relationship to a higher power is. I came into the 12-step rooms with a really fraught relationship to a higher power, but I've been so grateful to, and that can mean whatever it means for you, right? Group of debtors. It can just be that. It can just be this room right here, right now, today. And whatever message speaks to you and offers you something, that offers like a path forward towards serenity, like let that be your God. I've been so grateful to grow that relationship with a higher power through the help of this program and through the help of fellowship. But people say God is in the numbers. I came into this program thinking that money was an absolutely unholy territory. I thought money was the root of all evil. And maybe it's a bit wrapped up with some evil here and there, right? We can be with whatever that means for you. But I will say that like this belief that having money made you bad really made my life hard. It made my life really hard because when I got money, I had to get rid of it as soon as possible to stay good in that logic. And that would put me back in deprivation, back in the on the verge of debting again, right? Like back in this place of stress, and definitely not serenity. But numbers really unlocks this path forward out of vagueness. It's a very simple tool. And my PRG always tells me done is better than perfect, and I've had some times where, okay, I lost all my numbers because I didn't know you had to pay for this app and I got a new phone. Oh my God, like I have to do the whole first quarter again. They're like, you don't even have to do that. Just start from today. But of course, I'm a perfectionist. I did go back and I did the whole first quarter again. And it was like, oh, drove me crazy. But actually, it offered me so much serenity. And you know what? And when I finished redoing that first quarter, I cried because I knew my first quarter was hard. But the reality is that I have up and down earning. And is th this, oh my God, it's almost 1 minute. And so looking at the whole year is really helpful for me. Yeah, I just can't speak enough about this tool. This tool is what brings me access to PRGs, where I share with humility and transparency what's really going on for me, what those pressures are. And then because I have that clarity to show others in this program, they can really offer me guidance, and really give me actions that like I can just do imperfectly and trust that that's going to bring me towards serenity. So that's all I have, and I can't wait to hear everyone else on this panel, thanks so much.
Thank you, Bobby. So grateful to have you here. It is now my pleasure to introduce our next panelist, Brandon, who is going to share their experience, strength, and hope. And if the hosts could please share the DA tools, Brandon had asked for that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Cal. This is Brandon, debtor under earner. Can you hear me, Cal? Just a thumbs up because I changed my device. Great. Yeah, grateful to be here. Grateful for everyone, like our tech hosts, our moderator, our fellow speakers. We have 225 people here. Like, this is just is so beautiful to all of us be here to talk about this. And to be in this program. I feel for me, because of the topic being the first 30 days, as I've been listening to the other speakers, I'm really thinking about like, where was I on day one? I've been in program about 3 years now, but I once worked the other money program about 8 years ago, had about 6 to 7 months of recovery, said, I am good. I have it all figured out. I feel serene. I can get out of here. I was 24. I did not want to spend my entire life in recovery, in rooms. I was like, this, I don't want to do this. I want to be a normal 20-year-old. And back then, I was down to my last dollar literally before I came into the rooms, thinking there's no way I'm going to survive another day. I couldn't even afford a slice of dollar pizza. And then I had recovery. And then because I wasn't in the rooms, I wasn't working program, I wasn't connected to higher power. 3 years ago, I was being kicked out of an apartment that I had been in for 5 years that was a month-to-month sublet. That was $550 a month rent in New York City in 2020, which was a pretty good deal. And I was convinced that I would be homeless, that I would die, that I was so afraid. And I was so angry about the situation. I was in denial that I had debted. I was in denial that I had harmed my roommates. I was in denial that I needed help. And I spent my nights, my first week coming back to these rooms. I would walk from 145th Street up to 200 at like midnight, just like in so much fear and anger. And like I couldn't sleep. I would walk like miles at the middle of the night all over Manhattan, because I couldn't tolerate the experience. And so I came into these rooms like desperate. And the thing that my first meeting was the 12 steps and the tools were read. And reading the tools helped me because I'm a compulsive shame person. I look for shame everywhere. I feel like I'm never enough. I don't do enough. And it's like the core of my disease is to feel like I'm not enough. I don't have enough. The tools for me were a place that I could actually look at this program without feeling shame. Because the for me, hearing people say you have to get a sponsor, well, I don't think I'm sponsorable. I think I'm too, I rebuke authority. I don't feel like I want to be told what to do. You can't tell me what to, like just this anger. But being told, like, actually, you could go to meetings, you can use the telephone, you can attend a business meeting, you can use record maintenance. It's not all about any one tool. And so for me, what really was important in the beginning when I was so sensitive, so vulnerable, so scared, so angry, was like picking something that I was willing to do with where I was that day and doing that. And so my first meeting, I raised my hand in the newcomer chair and I shared for 1 minute. And then afterwards, the newcomer greeter came up to me and talked to me and I took down her phone number. And it was like, great, I did something that this program says I should do. I went to a meeting and I got a phone number. That's enough for me today. And then I went about the rest of my 23 hours of that day, frantic, scared, scrambling like a New York City rat, trying to find any way of survival, doing anything I could in complete chaos, like over here, over there, over here, over there, my list of 100 actions, crying, depressed. And then I went to another meeting. And then I got another phone number. And then I went up to the qualifier and I said, hey, can I call you this week? And then I called that person and we had a 10-minute phone call where I was like, I think I need to fix this. I need to figure this out. I need it all to go. And he's like, you don't have to figure anything out. That's not your job, is to just use the tools of the program. And it will all work out on its own. You've tried to figure it out, and you trying to figure it out is what got you here. let use the tools of the program, see what happens. And so he recommended something that I tried, which is just every day writing down one thing, one action I'd be willing to take, because this is an action program, one action I'd be willing to take towards earning. And then I would do my one action, and then I would spend the rest of the day freaking out. And then I would, the same thing would happen. And I would see as my eviction date loomed closer, because my first 30 days in program was my last 30 days in my apartment. And I would be like, oh, how, what am I gonna, I can't afford a storage unit. How am I gonna do that? And then I would keep my numbers. I would write them down. I would go to a meeting. I would share in the meetings. I would attend a business meeting and see everyone else freaking out about something. And I'm like, oh, I'm not alone. People are stressed in the business meeting. I'm stressed in the business meeting. We're all, I can breathe. Okay, maybe I can get a storage unit. Let me see. Do I have the means to do so? I do. Can I ask for help to get my stuff into the storage unit? I did. Okay, can I ask a friend to crash for a week? I did that, right? It's like taking one action, one action, one action. I don't know where I'm going to live at the end of my 30 days forever, in the same way that I don't know how I'm going to pay off all of my student loan debt, or how I'm going to earn, or how, I don't know how I'm going to do it all, because I can't do it all on any one day, but I can take an action towards earning. I started cleaning. My friend's family owns like a three-story building in Midtown Manhattan. I started cleaning their staircase, and I would listen to meeting. I would go on a meeting in my headphones while I was like sweeping and mopping their staircase. And they paid me $60, and I had my $60, and I was like, this isn't going to pay the $20,000 in student loan debt, but it's going to at least be able to pay for food this day. Great, let me go to a meeting. And then over time, I'm looking at tool nine right now, awareness. In time, I was able to kind of, things started to settle. The chaos started to die down just enough that I could be aware and see the patterns. I had been keeping my numbers actually for a very long time, but I had not been looking at them in a way that allowed me to see just who am I? What is my life? And I very quickly got a PRG within my first 2 weeks. I asked every single person, I need pressure relief. That's what this tool offers. Let's talk about it. And my pressure relief people were like, you need to have fun. You need to enjoy your life. You're not living to solve crises and to suffer. You're alive to have joy and to experience fun. Is there anything you can do for fun? Can you walk to a nice part of the city? Can you go see, can you ask friends if you can come over and watch a movie? Can you do anything that doesn't cost you money? And even if it does cost you money, great, you'll earn more. Spend $5 on something. They were like, I promise you, more money will emerge. This is not the last money you'll ever have. But I was in my willpower. No, I'm never going to have money ever again. This is all I can do. But I listened to my PRG people and my list of 20 actions that I got for my first PRG. Okay, if I can do one or two, that's great. And so I would do one or two actions, and then I would schedule my next PRG. And it's like, great, I have to come back on day 60. I have to come back on day 90. I have to come back on day 120. So my PRGs were a lifeline for me. Going to meetings was a lifeline for me. It was impossible to isolate in this program, because I would either go to a meeting and talk to people or not talk to people, or I would have my PRG meeting, or I would attend a business meeting. Like, there's just too many ways. So it was almost like watching the dust actually start to settle. And I was unwilling to be sponsored at first. I tried and it didn't work. I was unwilling to give service at first. I was too scared. I didn't think I could do it. I was scared of other people and how they would respond to me. But over time, I became willing to use the other tools. And so now, where I am 3 years into my program, I say I have about a minute left, is I use all the tools to the best of my ability, but still following this practice of I don't have to use all 12 tools all the time. It's whatever tool feels right today. Keeping my numbers. I have my notes app. I use my notes app to keep my numbers, and then I transfer it to an Excel spreadsheet. I can look at my numbers and say, like, I know how much I spent on dinner yesterday. I know that on the third, I paid actors to take the subway to do a reading of mine. I know on the 11th, I went on the subway twice. You know, I can just look at my numbers and immediately be like, I know what I did this month. I know what my life was. I'm no longer in vagueness. But I couldn't do it alone. And so for me, it really is just keep coming back, do one thing you can today, and then try again tomorrow. Thanks.
Thank you, Brandon. So wonderful to hear you. Thanks for sharing your experience, strength, and hope, and for being a part of us here. It is now my pleasure to introduce our final panel speaker, Hami, here to share his experience, strength, and hope.
Hey everybody. Thanks Cal for the intro and thanks for all the service going into this. Thanks everyone who's been serving, putting this on. And thanks to the other panelists. It's been really good to hear you guys. Really important reminders that I'm getting from each of you. I will say, I've been in DA, since 2018, October 2018, I came in, and I was in so another 12-step for some years before that, and DA has absolutely changed my life and so many ways. I have notes here that I'm gonna read. I'm gonna reference because I specifically put together a talk for newcomers. Some years back when I was still in New York. I live in LA. I moved here. I moved to LA 14 months ago. I was in New York. I started in New York DA, but I will say, just as far as my story with money, money for me meant excitement. It's like equal parts excitement and also like existential sort of dread. I was very attracted to the idea of making it, and I was equally mortified and terrified of the day that I realized, that future day when I would realize that I spent every cent of it in a blackout. That's my story with money. I spend in a blackout and I spend all of it. I have a men's meeting that I attend here in LA on Thursday nights in Koreatown, and I was just saying, I didn't live beyond my means before I got to DA, or at least I didn't think I lived beyond my means because I wasn't really a big credit card spender, but I would just spend all my money, and it got a huge laugh from these guys. They were like, and that made me understand. I was like, oh, I guess I was living beyond, like spending all my money all the time, on frivolous things is living beyond my means. And not having savings and all that kind of stuff. That was the first time. That's 8 years into almost 8 years into DA, realizing, oh, I think I was living beyond my means, even though I wasn't like formally debting so much on a credit card until like maybe the last year before I came here. I spent all my money, and I was always existentially dreadful about my situation with money, especially as I started ever since I had an allowance since I was a kid. But when I started to get older, I realized, oh God, like I really don't have a future, and I don't know how to how I was really dismayed by my situation, and it wasn't getting better. I'd been in AA recovering for about 10 years, and I thought, well, I thought, okay, because a lot of people's money situation improves when they get to another recovery program, but mine did not. So anyway, I needed DA really badly when I got here 7+ years ago, and some things that I kind of put together for newcomers, some thoughts that I put together over the years, I'll reference here. It says, if you're new to DA, welcome. Also, I'm so sorry you have to be here. And sorry it's come to this, of course. I'll just read some things here. Someone saying no or not now to service or sponsorship or being on your PRG team does not mean you're in the wrong place. It does not mean that people have silently taken a secret poll against you and thought, no, we're not going to help this guy. He's different, or we're gonna help this girl, or then we're gonna help them because they're, it's none of that exists. It just means move on to the next person. Someone is gonna be willing to give you service, and that will be the right someone for that moment. But just try not to take it personally when someone says no to service. A PRG is where I learn how to get current with two people, not just financially current, but life current. I can bring in there all sorts of stuff, relationship stuff, financial stuff, existential dread stuff, shame spirals, all that stuff. And I have two people that lift me up and tell me I'm awesome and point out ways that I'm awesome and that I didn't think about, or and it's a perspective shift, and I leave most of my PRGs leaving feeling so much lighter and better about my worldview. If you're new and nauseous, you're deeply not alone. I thought I might throw up for about the first 2 months that I was in DA. Also, yes, these people are crazy, and somehow it's okay and maybe even comforting. The good news is I discovered I'm also deeply crazy, but maybe in a quieter way than a lot of the folks here. But my crazy and their crazy learn to I learned to kind of live amongst these folks and eventually love these folks as well. It's let's see here. yeah, I stopped looking. I'd get caught up in what's the next, God's will is the next right action. I let that go and just kind of started thinking about the next indicated action. Whatever's indicated next is probably God's will if I have that view of God in the first place. Let's say, yeah, I have a lot more peace in my life, and if you feel a sense of this kind of internal chaos and war and all that, you don't have to study war no more, kind of thing. Like I've learned that the peace that comes with clarity kind of begets more peace, and the inner turmoil that I felt when I first got here is so much more smooth and quiet. You're never alone. That's the truth. Unquestionably, you are never alone. Even if you're coming from another recovery program that feels warmer than DA, and these people are not only crazy, but they're really cold. If you're feeling those things, just know that feelings aren't really facts, and these people are extraordinarily warm, and it might just take a little while to sort of get there. Let's see, a few things that kept me in my chair when I first got here. I heard in a meeting, I can't out-earn my disease. That really held true for me. I was not a low earner, and I would still spend all of my money. And so I was like, I could easily see myself being one of those people you hear about that wins the lottery and then it's like, has spent all of it in a year later and is homicidal and suicidal. I started I was eating a bunch of sugar when I got here, and I always have to watch my sugar because diabetes runs in my family. So I you know I was eating a huge cupcake every day at lunchtime, and I called my sponsor Cal, and I was like, I'm eating cupcakes every day, and like I'm acting out clearly with sugar. What's wrong? And he's like, sometimes you're gonna eat the cupcake. And that was a huge lesson. It's like sometimes things are gonna go sideways and getting here, and I might act out in other ways. You can name all the ways we can act out, and sometimes that's just gonna happen for a little period of time, however long, and then things equilibrium will be restored. So. No worries. Solvency is great, but it also is just a date on a calendar. The big win here is that I want to be here. The big win here is that day by day I have a little bit more clarity, a little bit more peace. That's the goal. If my solvency date changes based on this or that, that's okay. It's just a date on a calendar. Visualizing myself literally holding my seat for the first 90 days. Like, I really wanted to run out, and I was like, I'm just gonna hold on to my seat. How's that expression? But visualizing it, I just was like, I can do that. I can hold on to my seat, even though I want to run, I can hold on, and that helped me stay. And just really quickly in the last few seconds, some things that have changed in my life that are way too long to explain, but are real. I have four active bank accounts, four types of retirement accounts. I never had any money in savings in my life before. I have money in the stock market. I have a healthier sex and dating life. I've gone on numerous domestic and global vacations I never used to go before. I became a hobby painter. I feel much better about myself because I have a lot more self-care in my life. And financial situations with friends do not make me want to evaporate. And I have a growing ability for boundaries and personally and professionally. So that's what I'll say. D has absolutely changed my life, and I'm really glad to be here and thankful to all of you for being here. Thanks.
Thank you, Hami. So grateful you're here. Thank you to all of our panelists for taking their time to share their experience, strength, and hope. I've received so much.
The floor was open for questions, and a participant asked about the words disease and disease.
I can jump in since it's in reference to the literature I shared. Yeah, I like in that reading that it breaks up that word. And I heard some discussion of this in the last room, and would echo a lot of the sentiments I heard previously, which is, I don't think of this like, getting COVID or something, but or that's not a disease, sorry. It's a virus, it's different. Just to say that take what you like and leave the rest. If you're funny with money, you belong here. I wouldn't get too caught up on the words, but I like thinking of that language in this more space of dis-ease. It's the opposite of serenity for me. When I'm in dis-ease, I am not serene.
Thank you so much. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for these questions. I'm going to close out the meeting for now, because that's all the time we have. So please join me in thanking our panelists as well as our tech volunteers for their tremendous service here today. Thank you, everyone. It's been an honor. For all who care to, please join us in a moment of silence for all who are still sick and suffering, followed by the we form of the Serenity Prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept
Things that cannot change.
The courage to change
things we
things
can,
and
and
wisdom to know.
thy will and ours be one.